This is the parking lot at Rising Sun in Glacier National Park. It was here just a few years ago, in the very parking spot where I stand, where I drove over Phil Johnson's iPad. This was when we stopped for lunch. It was Phil and Darlene's first time in Glacier National Park. We brought them up here and we came here to this restaurant right here at Two Dog Flats. This is where we stopped for lunch. And we parked, as I said, where I'm standing. Phil dropped his iPad out of the car. None of us saw it. After we left here for lunch, we headed up the road, west, over going to the Sun Road. And as we were heading up the road, Phil suddenly turned around to Darlene and said, "Darlene, is my iPad in the back seat?" But of course it wasn't. It had fallen out of the car. It's a wonderful story, and I'll tell the rest of it later. But someday, in this parking place where I stand, I hope to place a brass plaque commemorating the event. For it shall go down in the annals of history.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods. I am your squirrel, the host, the man who drove over Phil Johnson's iPad. Good to have you with us this morning. Yesterday, I was driving home from church, and I was listening to the newest episode of the Voice of Reason podcast, and the hosts, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, gave a very nice plug to this podcast, which I greatly appreciated, and I want to return that plug. So, Voice of Reason Radio Podcast, go give it a listen. It's well worth your time. Great brothers in Christ who do that podcast, and so it's worth listening to. It's a fast growing podcast. They have a much larger audience than I do, which makes perfect sense to me, having listened to both podcasts. But in the process of plugging Squirrel Chatter on their podcast yesterday, they brought up the now infamous story of, well, how I backed over Phil Johnson's iPad with a Honda CR-V. And it's time to tell the whole story. I've had the joy and privilege of being friends with Phil Johnson and his lovely wife, Darlene, and their whole family for about the last decade or so. And that's purely grace on their part because it's no merit on mine. But it's become a wonderful friendship that I value highly. Well, a couple of months before Phil was scheduled to preach a conference up here in Montana, he called me to say that he would not be able to preach for me after church. He was going to come up here and preach at our church after the conference, and something was up in LA. He had to get back to LA and couldn't stay here for the weekend, so he couldn't preach for me on Sunday. So it worked out so that he would be able to fly up another weekend to preach at the church. He very graciously agreed to do that. That weekend came at the end of August of 2016, 5 years ago. Phil and his lovely wife Darlene flew in on Friday, and they were flying back out again right before lunch on Monday. Now, as neither of them had ever been to Glacier National Park, Mrs. Squirrel and I decided to take them up to the park, which is my personal favorite place on earth. So we decided to drive up there on Saturday. So Saturday morning after breakfast, we drove up to Glacier and over going to the Sun Road to the east side of the park. And then we stopped for lunch at the Two Dog Flats Grill at Rising Sun on the east side of Glacier National Park. Now after lunch, we headed back west and back over Logan Pass, heading for the West Glacier exit. So that we could exit the park and head back down to Superior.
As we crossed into the west side of the park, Phil turned around and he asked Darlene, "Darlene, is my iPad back there?" And it wasn't. After a few minutes of searching, I think we even pulled over and looked through the car. We concluded that it must have fallen out of the car at some point. Now, understand, we've stopped at multiple places to take pictures, to walk around, just, you know, enjoying the park. Now, I offered to, turn around and go back and go search for the iPad, but it was getting late in the day. We had a long drive back to Superior, and we had church the next morning, and so we decided to abandon the iPad and head out of the park. And as the conversation was going on, I think Phil was starting to get excited about the idea of ordering a new iPad. Well, after we got out of the park, Phil activated and got back into where we had cell service, because there is no cell service in the park at all. We got back out of the park, and Phil activated the Find My Phone feature that Apple has included in so many of its products. And immediately he got a hit at the nearby town of Whitefish. Well, when the Find My Phone app is activated, a message appears on the screen. "This iPad is lost. Please call." And it had Phil's phone number. Well, within a few minutes, we got a phone call from the people who had found Phil's iPad. They were also on vacation and traveling through the park. And so they called Phil back right away, and they informed us that the iPad had been driven over. There was a clear, it was in a neoprene Swiss gear. I have one just like it because I bought one after this incident, and it's not handy right now. But it was in a black neoprene Swiss gear iPad case. And he said the iPad case had a clear tire track right down the middle of it. So Phil asked, "How bad is it?" It was fine. There was no damage to the iPad. They informed us the iPad had been driven over. As I said, the case had a clear tire mark across it. It had been found at the parking lot at the Two Dog Flats Grill where we had had lunch. It had fallen out of the car and underneath the car. And when we left, I backed right over it. And we drove away, and they were pulling into the parking lot right after us to have lunch, and they saw the iPad and picked it up. Well, Phil thanked them for finding the iPad and told them that he would send them a UPS shipping label once he got back to the office in California. He had to go back on Monday, and so, you know, it was just they were going to send the iPad back to him when he got home, and great, happy ending, right? Well, no, we had to have a lot more fun with the iPad than that. You see, when you activate the Find My Phone feature on your iPad, you get a text every time the item moves. So every time, as we were going through our weekend and the people who had found the iPad were going through their weekend, every time they moved, we would get a text, or Phil would get a text message saying the new location of the iPad. So all day, the rest of the day on Saturday as we were driving home, and then Sunday morning before church, breaks at church, we had a potluck lunch that afternoon. At the potluck lunch, we were constantly getting we were playing a game of where's Phil's iPad, because we were getting text messages and we were following the iPad's journey across the area. Was always up around Glacier, around Whitefish, around Kalispell. But it was kind of fun. Sunday afternoon after church, after we had lunch at the church, Phil, Darlene, Mrs. Squirrel, and I drove into Missoula to watch a minor league baseball game at the Missoula Osprey, now defunct Missoula Osprey. And we're sitting in the stands enjoying the game, when Phil's phone went off, he got another text. And he turns to me and he says, "How far away is Southgate Mall?" I said, "I don't know, a couple of miles maybe." I said, "Why?" He said, "That's where my iPad is." So a quick phone call, got a hold of the guy that had found the iPad. They were having lunch at the mall. They were on their way east on I-90, having had their weekend up at Glacier. And they're heading east, and they were having an early dinner at the mall, Red Robin, I believe, having burgers. And so Phil and I left the baseball game, drove over to the mall, got the iPad. That's when he took that famous picture of me holding the iPad with the tire track over it. And that's why I'm all in Osprey baseball gear. We were at a ball game. So we got the iPad back. Now, here's the thing that we need to understand. The iPad was not destroyed. The iPad was fine. Not only was the iPad fine, Phil had a pair of reading glasses in that neoprene case as well. The reading glasses were fine. There was no damage. In fact, I'm putting up a picture now. If you're listening to the audio, you'll want to go to the Squirrel Chatter YouTube page and check this out, because this is a picture of Phil Johnson using the iPad that I drove over at a Q&A with John MacArthur 1 week after I drove over the iPad. That iPad in his hand is the iPad that I drove over. So there you go. That's the whole story of Phil's iPad. I think he later got a new iPad, and he gave that old iPad to one of the students at the seminary. It may still be going strong. I wonder if the seminary student understands the historical significance of the artifact that he possesses. So I did not destroy Phil's iPad. Phil got it back fully functional and used it for at least a couple more years. So now you know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Okay, well, let's quickly get to our Bible reading today, and we're going to be, as we continue to read through the New Testament in the Legacy Standard Bible, today we're going to be in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, but first we're going to start with our prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus, chapter 1, from the Legacy Standard Bible. Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the full knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which the God who cannot lie promised from all eternity, but at the proper time manifested his word in preaching, with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, my genuine child according to our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is beyond reproach, the husband of one wife, having faithful children who are not accused of dissipation or rebellious, for the overseer must be beyond reproach as God's servant, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of dishonest gain, but hospitable, loving what is good and sensible, righteous, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to reprove those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of dishonest gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in the faith. Not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their works they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and unfit for any good work. Chapter 2. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may instruct the young women in sensibility, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be slandered. Likewise, urge the younger men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be a model of good works, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in word, which is irreproachable, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be pleasing, not contradicting, not pilfering, but demonstrating all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in everything. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us that, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Chapter 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, demonstrating all gentleness to all men. For we ourselves also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our time in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the kindness and affection of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not by works which we did in righteousness, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we would become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be intent to lead in good works. These things are good and profitable for men. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and conflicts about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, so that nothing is lacking for them. And our people must also learn to lead in good works to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. I wish you the most pleasant day. Remember, no iPods were hurt in the production of this podcast, and do everything you do today is unto the Lord. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow on Squirrel Chatter.
chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.